And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Everyone good? Great Thanksgiving? Food? Family? Well, what would Thanksgiving be without some of Pastor Dwayne's Thanksgiving one-liners? I haven't run out of things to say about Arkansas, but we're going to switch to Thanksgiving since it was Thanksgiving. Here you go. I thought this was pretty cute. What did the mother turkey say to her disobedient children? If your father could only see you now, he would turn over in his gravy. I thought that was pretty good. Okay, I see a few have. That's the groaner fowl. Why can't you take a turkey to church? Because they're always using such foul language. Why did the turkey go to the movies? Because he wanted to see Gregory Peck. Just one more. Can a turkey jump higher than the Empire State Building? Of course not, because a building can't jump at all. Well, just a few little one-liners. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you did too. But if you haven't heard, we had an unusual in the sense that our turkey didn't get cooked and our dressing didn't get cooked and all the family didn't quite gather in one spot because, can we see the little picture? We welcomed our first grandbaby on Thanksgiving Day. This is Sophie Noel. And we have one more picture. I'm standing in the way. Isn't that the most beautiful baby you've ever seen in your life? I think it is. I think there may be one more picture and if not, that's okay. If we can switch over, Grandma and Grandpa holding our first grandchild. So I have joined the ranks of grandparents that has pictures on their phone. I get to show pictures when we have a captive audience. This is going to be wonderful. So we're just glad you got to take a chance. Mom and baby and all the family are doing well. But she was presented to us on Thanksgiving night. So that was a great Thanksgiving treat. Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Advent and peace. What a wonderful day to come to start off our Advent season. As was already read, the season of Advent is one of waiting and anticipation. It's a time to prepare and look forward to the coming of Israel's Messiah that was born in a manger. It's also a time to wait expectantly for the Son of God to return at the end of time. And so the Advent season, every time the church worships through Advent, it's a reminder that our lives exist in this in-between, the incarnation of Christ coming the first time and the second coming. So the first blank that you have there in your notes is that Advent represents the peace of Christ that we have in Christ. Advent represents the peace of Christ that we have in Christ. Now, Advent reminds us that we are part of a long tradition. We just don't pick up our Christian existence with the story of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It would be kind of weird if Jesus just showed up and said, hey, here I am, the Savior of the world. You know, just was born and decided that that was going to be his message. It wouldn't have made much sense if there hadn't been a long struggle of the people of God in the past. Israel tried to obey God, but struggled to overcome their sin and disobedience. And so we're part of that long tradition of believing that God created the world. He created a people, Israel, and they struggled on and off with their relationship to God. And then Jesus comes to finally die on a cross to put to death sin in our own lives. Israel, even though they clung to the law, they looked forward to the day a Messiah would come, an anointed one would come that would save them from their sins and deliver them from their enemies. So we're a part of that long tradition of Israel that they were waiting for that one anointed one to come and to deliver them. It reminds me of some of the verses in the Old Testament that point to the waiting, such as Genesis 3:15. And I'll read these real quickly. It says, and I will put enmity, this is God speaking, right after Adam and Eve disobeyed. God said, I will put enmity between you, he's speaking to the snake, the serpent at this time. I, God, will put enmity between you, the snake, representing the devil, and this woman, and between your offspring, the offspring of the devil, and the woman, hers. And he, notice the change of pronouns, he, the offspring of the woman, will crush your head and will strike his heel. In other words, in Genesis 3:15, theologians call this the proto-evangelium. It's the first preaching of the gospel. It's the first time right after Adam and Eve disobey that God speaks and says, one day there's going to be an offspring of a woman that's going to crush the head of the devil, and the devil would feel the imprint of his heel. It was the preaching that one day, even though sin and disobedience came very quickly into the world's existence, one day there was going to be an offspring, there was going to be an anointed one, there's going to be a Messiah that would one day stop the work of the devil. Can we say amen to that? In Genesis 3, it was already the preaching of the gospel of Christ, an anointed one that would defeat the enemy. And then Isaiah 9, these are all the New Testament writers grab these as prophecies. It says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, everlasting, and upholding it with justice and righteousness. And from that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You see, already in the Old Testament, they were waiting for Wonderful Counselor. They were waiting for the Prince of Peace. They were waiting for David's offspring to set upon the throne. They were waiting for an anointed Messiah that would finally establish peace and justice. Isaiah 53 says this, says, but he, speaking of Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You see, we just don't have to pick up in the middle of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but all through the Old Testament was this waiting, this longing for a day that would come when Messiah, an anointed one, the son of David, a counselor, a prince of peace, would come and would carry the sins of the world and would bring justice and bring righteousness. And they wait, and they would bring healing and peace to this world. And so Advent is this representing the peace that we have in Christ. But the second one, that was a long first line, wasn't it? The second line with the blank there is that Advent also represents the waiting for the full peace of his kingdom. You say, Pastor Duane, now you described that so wonderfully of the justice and the righteousness and the peace, but we look at this world and we're like, where is all the peace? Where is all the righteousness? Not everything has been made full yet. And so Advent is not only looking and helping us to wait and as Israel did for the birth of Messiah, but now on this side of the cross, we still know that we're waiting for his second appearing. That is, we're waiting for his second coming. That we don't live in the fullness of it yet. Not every work of the devil is crushed. Not every injustice is made right yet. Not every person has found peace and healing. And so we're still left in the position of still longing for now for Jesus to come back. Still longing for the time when Jesus returns and sets up fully his kingdom. But we wait with faith, we wait with hope, and we wait anticipating the peace that he's going to bring in fullness one day. So we know the end of the story, right? And thereby we wait with anticipation of all the good things that God is yet to do in our world. So, now I call this kind of finding peace in Christ in a stressed out world. So what are some things that we can rest on as we're waiting for that fullness of the peace of Christ, knowing that we live in a stressed out world? Anyone else live in a stressed out world? This week's been a little stressful. We had a lot of fun, but you know, there's lots of things. If you're not stressed out, turn on the 5:30 news. Watch it for a little while. It'll give you some things to be stressed about, all right? I'm a news watcher, but I have to double up on my blood pressure medication at times just to get through it, because there's lots of things, isn't there? There's just lots of things in this world to get stressed out about. So how do we anticipate the peace of God? How do we not get so stressed out with and forget that God is bringing his peace? Well, the book of Ephesians, the reason we read that book is that in the short few chapters of Ephesians, the word peace shows up at least 7 times, which is pretty concentrated for such a short book. And the first thing that we want to see from this greeting, Paul says in 1, he says, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the God's holy people in Ephesians, in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. So Paul in his greeting brings out several words here that I want to just talk about. First of all, we recognize that peace comes from the blessing of God through Christ. Peace comes from the blessing of God through Christ. I think blessing is kind of an umbrella term for the other words he uses. He says, I bring grace and peace. This is not just Paul's words, but he says, the grace and peace to you is from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is a great word because grace, the root word in the Greek of grace, is the word gift. So when they were talking about the grace of God, we're talking about God gifting us. He's stepping toward us and giving us his love, giving us his grace, giving his blessing. So he says grace and then peace. Peace in the Hebrew is shalom. It's an overwhelming wholeness of just being whole, being at rest, feeling good, and that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, because that's kind of the word peace, that we have this shalom. And so he says grace and peace from the God our Father, and because of that grace and peace that flows from him, he says praise to God who has given us all blessing. So he uses a lot of words here that helps us to understand peace. Blessing in Hebrew is the word barak, and I like Hebrew because you can growl a little bit, barak. You know, the more you do that, the better you feel. Maybe you should try it when you get home, barak. You know, yell at your kids, except it's supposed to be blessing, so yelling it probably wouldn't be appropriate. But the word barak means to be favored, and or to be anointed with favor. And so to hear that word, it says that peace comes from the blessing of God, or Paul says that he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. It's that barak, that favor, that God favors you, anoints you with favor. And also, I learned that barak is another way to translate it, or the word that it's associated with, is to kneel. And so it literally means to be favored such that it brings one to our knees in thankfulness and adoration. In other words, the vernacular would be just blessing our socks off. You know, we kind of pass by the word blessing. But it's a strong word of just feeling so favored and so gifted by God's love and grace that it brings us to our knees of thankfulness and adoration of what God has done in us. And that's the peace. That's the blessing. That's the grace that God gives us through Christ. Even though we live in a depressed and stressed out world, we can have that kind of blessing. We can have that kind of peace. Not that everything in the world turns out the way we want it to, this side of glory, but the peace of knowing that we are favored by God, that we are called by God, we are loved by God, we've been given God's grace, and all of that comes through knowing Christ and living for him. You see, peace comes from the blessing of God through Jesus Christ, and that's the reminder that we have of Advent season, of all the blessings that we've been giving through Christ. The second thing that Advent reminds us of is that peace comes from the welcome of God. Peace comes from the welcome of God. Now, to do that, I'm going to read chapter 2 of Ephesians. This is another place where the word peace shows up regularly in Ephesians chapter 2. I don't think it's going to be on the screen, but if you just want to listen real quick, this is chapter 2 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 11. It says, "Therefore remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done with in the body with human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." Did you hear that? You see, now this passage, Paul is speaking to a church that is predominantly Gentile. If you don't know what Gentile, it means everyone that's not Jewish, everyone that's not part of the family of Israel. And Paul is trying to discuss to them that these Gentiles, discuss with them, the Gentiles he knows didn't have the Old Testament. They weren't given the law to be a blessing and follow it as they were in the Old Testament. That they were outside, Gentiles were outside the family of the Jewish heritage. And so Paul was trying to grapple, so what do we do with the Gentiles? You see, if God is the creator of the world, and they were told early on that he loves the world, then what do we do with the Gentiles that were outside of the law and outside of Israel, outside the family? What do we do with those that are outside the family? Paul says, and he describes it, he lets them know, I know, you were excluded. You were without the promise. You were without hope. And I'm just see the Gentiles in the congregation going, yeah, wow, he's laying it on heavy. We're without hope. We're without God in the world. But then he turns it and he says, But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near. Isn't that cool? This is the welcome of God. You see, Advent is a time to recognize that through Christ, we have been welcomed into the family of God. That those that were excluded at some point are just welcome to come in. Now, through the fullness of the new covenant, God has opened the floodgates so that all can come in, so that the grace of God, the gift of God flows. He was never exclusive. He didn't want just Israel, even in the Old Testament. But he had to start somewhere, so he started with that family of Israel. But now through Christ, it's evident that God's love, that he died for all. And so he wants to welcome. Isn't it great to be welcomed? And that's what Paul is trying to show, is that peace of God now is God stepping toward all of us and welcoming us into the family. You know what it's like to be welcomed into a home? It's wonderful. Now, cultures are different, and I'm a pretty open, gregarious guy, but part of our culture is that we like to go home and shut our door, don't we? If you've ever been in another culture, you'll notice the difference. We're not used to people come. Now, used to, wasn't that long ago, that especially on Sunday, when I was raised in rural Arkansas, maybe there was nothing else to do, but on Sunday, it was visiting day, and people would just show up and talk, and you know, well, yeah, have you ever noticed we don't do that as much anymore? We tend to go home and close our door, and sometimes people will knock on the door, and we tend to like, and have conversations even at the door if we know we're not expecting them, and close the door. You know, it's just, we tend to protect our abode that way. That's not the case in other cultures. When I went to the Middle East, I remember the person that was working through us, with us in Turkey, said, "Now, just know that when we go somewhere, don't think of time, because," he said, "as soon as you show up at the door, you're a guest. And if you come inside, then they will put tea on. And if they have tea on, that means you're going to sit. And if you sit, you're going to talk, and you're going to have tea." And so everywhere we went, it's just when you showed up at the door, You were a guest. Come in. They don't care what they were doing. They would stop whatever they were doing. And he said, so just plan on taking hours to do everything, because everywhere you go, they're going to invite you in. They're going to put tea on. And to get up and hurry away was just an insult, because you were a guest. I remember in Africa the same way, that, you know, I remember one time we went to Zambia, and we told the married students that we were going to visit their little homes, their little huts. And so we didn't know quite what we were saying, because we just thought we were going to come, and no, they started cooking, and we knew we were in trouble, because there's like 13 families up there, and they all started cooking and preparing, and they told us, they're like, oh wow, and so we spent the whole day just moving. After about the third cup of Shawantu, I was like, Lord Jesus, please get me out of here. This is awful. This is, Leah, did you have Shabantu when, yeah, thank the Lord. Just say praise be to Jesus. It's a wonderfully awful treat. I hope my friends from Africa, is this put online? I hope they don't listen to this. Shawantu is this, they have take a Shawantu root and they boil it in water and they put in a little bit of sugar and then they pour lumps of flour and stir it up and it's lumpy. And so you drink it and then chew it and drink it and then you get to the bottom of the cup. And so anyway, about the third or fourth cup, you know, as we're moving down the line, we're eating things. We don't know what we're eating. We're drinking Shawantu. And Tom and I are just looking at each other and like, Lord Jesus, please help us. But the point I'm making is that it's a culture of welcome. That if you come to their door, it's just, you know, come in, you're a friend. And that's what God did. God, through the coming of Christ, just threw the doors open and said, welcome. So I get emotional just thinking about the welcome of God. And I just want to stop and just say if maybe you feel like you're outside the family of God, maybe you've never really come to Christ and made him your Lord and Savior, I want you to know it's not because of him, because he's standing there waiting for you to come in. He wants you to be a part of the family. So at any point today or at the end of the service, feel free to find out what it means to follow Christ and can confess him as Savior, because through Christ, through the peace of Christ, he just says welcome, and you can be a part of the family. Sorry, I'm emotional for some reason. Did I tell you about a grandbaby we had? Maybe that. Let's see that picture. No, I'm just teasing. All right, I'm not gonna look. Did I tell you, I think that, is that the most prettiest baby you've ever seen? I think it is. All right. It looks like Grandma. We're having the debate of what to be called. And anyway, okay, we're back on the sermon. That's what we're doing. Okay, the next thing is that peace is God's plan and purpose for all humanity. Peace is God's plan and purpose for all humanity. Now, to do this, I'm going to skip down a little bit further in Ephesians chapter 2 where the word peace shows up again. Listen to this. I love this passage. This is 2:14. It says, for he himself is our peace. Speaking of Christ. Christ himself is our peace. Who have made the two groups one. Now, he's talking about Jew and Gentile, bringing them all together into the family. And it has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. God's purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, and thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. And in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Isn't that amazing? That passage is still talking about the differences between Israel and those who weren't Israel, but how through Christ he's the peace that brings them together. And so peace, you see, is God's plan and purpose for all humanity, that we would all come together in Christ, that we would all find peace, not only just between Jews and Gentiles, but that everyone would come to that individual peace with God and with one another. No more keeping one another at arm's length, but the walls of hostility between nations and ethnicities and genders, and that we come together in Christ. Galatians 3, Paul says in another place that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's nor slave nor free, male nor female, because you're all one in Christ Jesus. You see, Christ not only brings us together individually, wants peace with God, but corporately, He wants the body of Christ to look multi-ethnic, multi-gendered. You know, the whole world now has been brought together into the oneness of Jesus Christ. He's brought all the dividing walls that keep us separated. He's brought them down so that we can be one in Christ Jesus. I always love churches that have different ethnicities and different ages and different, even different languages on occasion. That's just a snapshot of what the kingdom's supposed to be. That all the things that tend to divide us, they fall at the feet of Jesus. And we can become centered on Christ Jesus. One other quick story. One of the reasons I like to go on mission trips, you probably didn't know that I like going on mission trips, is that it helps those walls that sometimes you get put in a position to where you recognize that our differences, you know, there are differences, but that we're all one in Christ Jesus. I was in Zambia one year, either 2010 or 11. I went by myself one time. I wouldn't recommend that necessarily, but it was, I needed to go. So I went by myself to Zambia and spent about 3 weeks that time. Had a great time. But I remember that the national superintendent of the Wesleyan Church that was hosting me said, "Dwayne, I'm so sorry, but I got called." I think he was going to Uganda. And he said, "I'm going to put you in a guest house, and you need to stay there for like 3 days, and then I'll come back up and pick you up, and we'll go to Ndola." And so I'm like, okay. So he put me in a guest house in Lusaka, Zambia, which is the capital with over 3 million people. I did not know where I was. I didn't know anyone that was hardly around me. And he just put me in a guest house. And he took me to what we would call a get-and-go store. I forgot what they call it. Anyway, a get-and-go store. I got some peanut butter, and I got some bread, and I got some coffee, and I got some yogurt and some things, you know, and was put in the guest house. Now, the guest house was about 7 or 8 rooms, and people would come and spend the night like a little hotel. So I had my own little digs. Well, it didn't take me very long to realize that the door didn't lock. It was just an open door, kind of unique, you know. But I quickly learned that I was the only white dude within about 50 miles probably of the place. That's, you know, those differences that it makes you think, you know, like, wow, I'm out of my culture, you know. It was interesting. Well, he told me, he said, "Now, Sunday, you're going to be, Reverend Sameba is going to pick you up, and he's going to take you to the church to preach." I'm like, okay, great. I had never met Sameba, so I'm like, okay. Well, Saturday night rolled around, hadn't heard anything about Sameba, Reverend Sameba, didn't know where we were going, didn't know when to expect he was picking me up. So I started, it was 10 o'clock, I took my clothes off and said, "I'll just go to bed. I'll get up early, I guess, and be here." Well, I had gotten in bed, and right before I went to sleep, I heard someone come in the door. So I thought, okay, no big deal. But he started on the other end. It was two of them. "We're looking for the white man. Is the white man?" You know, "Is the white man?" "No, no white man." And he went down. "I'm looking for the white man." I'm like, you know, and about this time, I think that's me. I guess I better put my pants back on. So, and I'm trying to think, should I get under the bed? Should I crawl out the window? What? But I'm like, okay, I'm a big boy. And they knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and he's like, "Oh, you are Pastor Dwayne." And I'm like, "Yes." And he said, "We are from Reverend Sameba's office, and he said he will pick you up at 8 o'clock. And I'm like, "Thank you." I love telling that story. But you know what? The reason I tell that story is not to be, you know, politically incorrect or, you know, but just to, you know, when you hang around with people different than you are, and then realize that Christ come to bring peace. I don't care what color, what language, what gender, that the beauty of the body of Christ is when we come together in unity and in oneness. And that's what Christ has done for us. He has brought groups together through him. And the plan and purpose of God is that all humanity would come together in Christ Jesus. Amen? Last point. I promise. I'm going to be through here in about another hour or so. We'll be done. That's not true. The last thing is that we're called to walk in the gospel of peace. We're called to walk in the gospel of peace. Now I'm going to scoot over to Ephesians 6, another passage that talks about peace in the book of Ephesians. Listen to this. You may recognize this passage and listen for the word peace. It says, finally be strong in the Lord. This is Ephesians 6:10. Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Isn't that great? We use this passage, you know, suit up the full armor of God. Get your belt of truth. Get the breastplate of righteousness. Get the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit. You would think that we're going to go out and kill somebody, right? But then he slides in that our message, our feed, is prepared to take us with readiness of the gospel of peace. You see, it's not that we're out saying, I've got the gospel. No, let's go kill everyone that doesn't have the gospel. The battle we're having is against the devil, is against the evil one. We're fitted not to kill each other. We're fitted to do war against the devil and against the powers in the heavenly realms. But the gospel we have is one of peace. It's one of reconciliation. You see, the devil comes, and when we're doing war against him, the devil's the one that tries to bring deception. The devil's the one that tries to steal. The devil's the one that tries to divide. The devil, the one is that builds hatred. He's the one that lies. He's the one that tries to bind us. But you see, the gospel of peace is the one of love. It's the one of forgiveness. The gospel of peace is one of truth. The gospel of peace is one of fellowship with all people. It's a word of blessing. So when God comes with the gospel of peace, he's basically saying, lay down your own weapons because I've got you surrounded with peace. Isn't that cool? I've got you surrounded. You might as well give up. I've got you surrounded. I've got you surrounded with peace. So it's not that we've got weapons that we're going to kill somebody with. It's the weapons that we do the battle against the enemy with love and with grace and with truth and with doing justice and with fellowship and with truth-telling. That's the weapons, you know, we have weapons to do battle against the enemy, but our message is a message of peace. So today is the day of celebrating peace, the peace that we have in Christ, looking forward to the second coming when all peace and righteousness and justice will be done. I look forward to that day. After watching the nightly news for years, I'm ready for some peace, you know, but we long for it. And so I pray today that you have accepted God's peace in your own heart and life, that he has welcomed you, that you've responded to his welcome, and that you are sharing that gospel of peace, that you're bringing reconciliation to a world that needs to know that God is love. That's my prayer for all of us today.